This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
So in Ephesians chapter 2, the first three verses in that chapter, and this is a very famous chapter in the New Testament, the first three verses speak of the lost condition of all mankind, including the Apostle Paul and including the Ephesian believers and unbelievers alike. They're all completely lost. Following the example of the world around them, is what he points out in those verses, that they live their lives following the example of the world around them. The world around them, whatever society or culture they were in, dictated to them how to live their lives. The world told them what was important. The world told them what things they were to strive for. The world told them what success was. The world told them what it was to be cool and hip, and what it was to be not so cool and hip. The world dictates everything, and people follow along in the herd and go the way of the world. That's how the Ephesians were. Paul says, that's how I was. Even though Paul was an extremely religious individual before he was saved, he still recognizes the fact that he followed the way of the world. And that is something that is always the enemy of the believer once he becomes a Christian, and something that God is always working to remove us from the way of the world so that we live different from the world. The word different is another synonym for the word holy, to be different. So unaware of the invisible presence of Satan and his demon armies that are in the atmosphere surrounding the world, These are the forces, the invisible forces that organize the world system, and they are focused upon keeping people blind to the gospel of grace. You can go to 2 Corinthians 4:4, and you'll see that his job is to blind the minds of those lest they believe. He is a mind blinder, and that is his job, to keep them alienated from the grace of God. And if by chance, per chance, they do find Christ, they do get saved, to keep them alienated from the grace of God after they're saved. Get them into a religious system. Get them into a work system. Get them into a ritualistic, ceremonial kind of faith. But keep them away from grace. Grace is dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. So whether you're an atheist or an evolutionist, or maybe you're just completely disinterested in spiritual things, or maybe you're a hater of God. Sometimes we see those. You can't even bring God up in their presence. They just fume with hatred towards even the word God. Maybe you're a religionist. You've been in church all of your life and been from one church to another. Whatever background you might have, demon spirits, fallen angels, work to deceive and distract you and me from comprehending the grace of God. That's their job. And they've got a whole large portion of this planet under their control. There are many false religions out there all over the planet, whether it's Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Zoroastrianism, or whatever else is out there. Huge amounts of people who know nothing of God's grace, who know nothing of what Christ accomplished for them. And that is all the work of demonic spirits under the leadership of Satan himself, who is orchestrating the world system to blind the minds of people and get them involved in other things that he cares little about as long as it keeps them away from grace. So, spiritually dead are the Ephesians. And habitually practicing sin are the Ephesians. They are spiritually dead, separate, which means separated from God, completely separated from God, and they are habitually dead, and they are habitually practicing sin. That's who the Ephesians are. And they are following the way of the world, and they are under condemnation, because the whole world is under condemnation, John 3:18. They possessed no merit. They deserved nothing from God but judgment. Even human goodness is rejected. Even human goodness is rejected because no amount of human goodness can erase man's sinful nature and practices. So what's the standard? Hebrews 12:14 is the standard. Says, pursue peace with all people. And then the second part, the B part of the verse, and holiness without which no man shall see God. Holiness without which no one will see the Lord. So without holiness, nobody will see God. Holiness cannot be produced by an imperfect person. Holiness can never be produced by an imperfect person. Doing good things throughout your life will not produce holiness. For example, Pastor Jeff here used to be a bank robber. You didn't know that about him. That was his past. He was a bank robber, but he would take all the money he got from the banks that he robbed and give it to charity. And when they finally arrested him and they caught up with him and they took him to the court, they brought him before the judge, and he said, but Your Honor, I gave every penny to charity. You can't, Your Honor, the good that I did with that money is just incredible. But the judge unfortunately had to tell him, it doesn't matter how much good you did, it doesn't erase the fact that you robbed the bank. And that broke the law. And therefore, you're still under punishment. You're still under condemnation. You could do enormous amounts of good, but it doesn't erase the bad. You still have to pay for the bad. So off to jail he went, where he got saved and finally became a pastor. That's a good thing. And then Kathleen waited for him outside the gates. But the good that you do can never erase the bad. It's a simple principle. It's just not going to do it. People think that in their head. Well, I was a good person. Yeah, that's fine. That's wonderful. Because we have a lot of good people in the world. We have some very courageous people. We have in our military, we have some incredible men of valor who do great things and lay their lives down for our country and everything else. They do a lot of good. But it never erases the bad. And it doesn't take much bad to be condemned. It only takes one sin. You only need to sin once to disqualify you from dwelling in the presence of God. Just one. So no matter how much good you do, it doesn't offset the bad. There's nothing I can do to offset that bad. So Romans 3:23, all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All men. Because there's nobody who hasn't sinned. And no amount of good that they do, and some of them can be highly commended for the good they do. But that can never offset that sin. It can't do away with that sin. No amount of good works can erase sin. So we are therefore, then, we are all hopelessly lost. We are hopelessly lost except for one thing, that God loved us and was not willing that we should perish. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. He was not willing that we should perish because he loved us so much. And so he devised a plan. Even before the world was created and he could foresee our failure, foresee mankind's failure, he created a plan of redemption. And we begin in verse 4 in Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. God, he's rich in mercy. And because of his great love wherewith he loved us, God's love initiated this plan of redemption, his great love for us. He initiated the plan, and before the foundation of the world, before the book of Genesis, the plan was in place. Jesus would come and die for you. He would send his son Jesus on earth. He would be born as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. He would live his life for 33 years perfectly. He would be the first man on earth never to sin, not even once. Not even in his thoughts, John 8:29. Not even his thoughts could there be found anything that was contrary to God's will. Perfect. The first and only perfect man that ever was and is. So he lived his life perfectly for us. And then he also died for us by substituting himself when that judge condemned our sin and said that we were guilty, regardless of our good works, we were guilty and needed to pay for our sin. Jesus substituted himself for it and said, take me, punish me, execute me instead of them. Because, you see, death was the prescribed penalty for sin. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. Can't say it any simpler than what it says there. The soul that sins, it shall die. That's the rule. Because of God's holiness, because of his righteousness, he cannot have sin in his presence. So the soul that sins, it will die. And so Jesus would live the perfect life, not deserving of death, yet he would submit to death on our behalf. So now the cross is in the rearview mirror. As far as God is concerned, the cross, when before the foundation of the world, he looked forward to the day when the cross would be a reality. But now the cross is in the rearview mirror. It took place. And because of that, God is ready to treat.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Oakleaf Golf Course is Okeechobee County's premier championship golf course, located just 8 miles north of Okeechobee City on U.S. Highway.